The following is a segment from the Education Gadfly Show. Visit edexcellence.net to listen to full episodes or to sign up for the print edition of the Education Gadfly. For quicker delivery of the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes.
So, Laura, take it away.
Thanks, Janie. This Monday, in an NCLB do-over of sorts, the Department of Education allowed Montana to reset its proficiency targets. What sort of precedent is this signaling from Washington?
I think Washington's throwing out all kinds of signals right now. It's really hard to tell what is going on. I mean, they said last week that they were going to come up with this big waiver proposal, you know, tie it to a couple of reforms and say, if you show progress on these fronts, we'll give you some NCLB waivers. And then this week they come out and Montana basically, you know, finds this loophole where they didn't reset their standards when they could have in like 2005. And now, you know, Duncan is saying, okay, well, you can do it now. You can backtrack and do it now, and we're not going to hold you accountable. I think it's very, you know, it's very wishy-washy. What do you think?
I mean, I'll agree with you that I think Duncan's waffling a lot on what he's doing here. You're hearing waivers, you're hearing, you know, you can just not follow NCLB regulations. What I'm curious about is how this is going to play out in the year or years to come, as long as it takes us to reauthorize ESEA. I feel like this is really taking teeth out of, and some of the, you know, Klein and some of the others in Congress have said that same thing. Duncan, whatever you're doing now is really hurting our own ability to negotiate and get a reauthorized bill on the table. And I feel like these runarounds and things are really going to affect long-term reauthorization. I wonder if just sort of the federal accountability model as we know it is going to fade into oblivion.
I mean, there's definitely the element that something needs to be done at this point. You know, you have all of these schools across the country that are meeting this, you know, they're failing AYP and are in for these sanctions. And, you know, they don't deserve to fail. They really don't. So something has to be addressed. But I agree. It makes me a little nervous that we're just kind of, at this point, finding random loopholes to address this. That doesn't seem to be a very systematic way to, you know, address something from the level of the federal government. If they're really going to make these across-the-board mandates, then, and, you know, and they want them to have teeth, like you said, then, they need to address them in an across-the-board way. You can't really pick and choose what you're going to hold, you know, who you're going to hold accountable and who you're not.
It's true. Jeb Bush, with his Politico piece last week or so, you know, lead or get out of the way, Duncan. And maybe that's it. You know, he really was a proponent of a waiver system that would allow for strong state accountability systems, much like the Florida system. Florida, meanwhile, this year has had 82% or so of its schools 82% of its schools fail per AYP standards. People in Florida don't necessarily care about that. They've got a strong A-through-F system. They trust it. They know it. And they're moving forward with their own state accountability sort of to AYP. So maybe, you know, that's exactly that kind of system is something that we need to be looking at.